you know, everybody's required to travel to one road venue, you know, to support another team's tournament. And so this way we're still getting, you know, 8 to 10 games in, you know, and, you know, total. And at the end of it all, we'll have a champion. But the thing is, each weekend, your hope is that there'll be a different champion. At the very least, every weekend, there'll be something to play for, you know. So it's going to be the first year, so certainly not going to be perfect. And that's another reason why I decided to kind of scale it back a little bit, because we'll use this first year more or less to see where we need to improve upon, you know. And then in 2024, you know, hit it a little bit better. Not necessarily that much bigger, but certainly better than 2023. So we're going to use 23 as a way to discover our strong points and, you know, where we need to improve.
And Mac didn't tell you all he's going to have me do play-by-play at the game in San Diego. I guess it's pushed back to May now.
It's probably going to be May, you know, the first weekend in May. I have to confirm that with San Diego, but my expectation is it'll be that first Saturday in May, which I believe is May 3rd.
Okay.
Do you want to do play by play or color commentary? Because if you do play by play, that kind of frees me up a little.
Yeah, I can do play by play.
Yeah, you was doing that for the Super Bowl. I saw you on your Instagram.
Oh, you saw when I went live? Okay, yeah. Very good, very good. Yeah, I'd love to get my Chick Hearn on anytime. Shoot. I bring my Brent Musburger on and my Vince Scully.
Do Brent. Let's say you do Brent.
You are looking live at the Sold Out Spectrum in Philadelphia. Good afternoon. I'm Brent Musburger. And oh, my, we got Big Moses coming out as he shifts it over to the doctor.
Yeah.
How about Pat Summerall and John Madden? I know you're not an NFL guy, but when I walked into SoFi Stadium, I just had to do them. Oh, yeah, this is a great stadium right here. Look at this going on. You got spit over here. You got gum under the seats. Oh, that's football.
Summerall was very, very cool with it. Very, I liked his style. He was very understated, and he still got his point across. No yelling, no screaming. You know, we were lucky in New York, though, because coming up, he also did the sports report on 6 o'clock news for CBS back in the day.
You know, and Brent was doing the CBS. I caught Brent doing the CBS news back in the day. So we got a treat with that as well.
Oh, wow. He actually did news outside of sports.
Outside of sports. I thought he might be doing sports. He was doing news. It's like, wow. And we were talking about y'all were lucky. We were spoiled growing up out here getting Chick Hearn and Vince Scully. Growing up with them.
Yeah, we
spoiled.
Vince Scully, yeah, you guys really good. And, you know, in New York, of course, we, you know, back in the day we had Vince Scully. You guys may have heard the name Marty Glickman. If you didn't, I'll tell you all about him. And then, of course, there was Marvin and even his two brothers. I mean, we got to hear all three of them at one
Steve
time.
Steve and Al,
Steve and Al, yeah. And
you know, what about Sid Glickman? Is he related to Marty Glickman?
Marty Glickman.
Yeah, it's Sid. I heard of Sid. Is Sid Glickman related to him? Sidney Glickman?
Oh, I don't know. I never even heard of him.
Seemed like I heard that name somewhere, but we were spoiled having people like Ben Scully tell us stories. Ball one, he came out of Pawtucket in his fifth year, batted .325 in his second at bat. And coming up next, right here, brought to you by Farmer John. And we were spoiled having Vincent Chick. I don't know who was better. I guess it depends on what sport you like. Because Ben Scully was doing football games after a while on CBS Sports.
Yep, too. CBS football, yep.
Did golf?
Wow. I remember Chick was on Channel 5 doing Bowling for Dollars one time.
Bowling for Dollars, that used to be, that. Well, that was recorded in Madison Square Garden back in the day.
Okay.
Yeah, Bowling for Dollars. They had another room inside Madison Square Garden. I forget what the name of it was now, but they did so much work to MSG, you barely recognize it. But let me ask you something.
What about Sonny Werbling?
Sonny Werbling, yeah. The guy, he was the one who was behind the Meadowlands, really.
Okay.
Yeah, he was one of the guys, because I think, if I remember correctly, he left MSG and he started the whole Meadowlands project. But let me ask you something now, since you brought up Vim. You probably heard him on radio, right?
Yeah, on radio for the first
time. I know you heard him on TV, but you've also heard him on radio, correct?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so in your view, where was he more valuable? Because see, my personal opinion, of course, when you're doing radio, when you're doing a game on radio, doing a baseball game, I think it's a whole lot easier to develop almost a personal relationship with listeners. Whereas if you're on TV, I think that allows for Vin to tell his stories on radio. He couldn't do it. Because you're too busy painting the word picture of what's going on. But what do you think?
I think he still was able to do both. He still was able to blend both, you know. Chick Hearn used to do simulcast where he'd be on radio and TV at the same time. He did a good job blending it too. Because, you know, I guess we didn't get tired of hearing him describe every little thing, you know, because if you're watching it on TV, Brennan be like, Davis, over to Nance. And then they'd be done shot the ball. He didn't even say nothing. And back the other way. And here come the Sixers. Didn't tell us every little thing like Chick. Now the ball's given off to Magic Johnson. He jodeling up and down on the end of a string going left to right across your dial on his 47x94 Hunker Wood. Now he terminated dribble, get over to Worthy. Worthy's guarded by Scottie Pippen. Facing Worthy Gibson. Reagan was the prince of the bullet for Charlie Chisholm. Oh, what a beautiful 3-6 and something. Saw the great slam dunk. We used to turn down the sound. We used to turn down the sound on regular TV if the Lakers was on national TV. Turn the sound down and play the radio. When I moved to Louisiana, Dad would be like, turn the sound down and do Chick. And I would announce the game doing Chick Hearn.
Yeah, yeah.
But when we went right before we moved, though, I said, what you think of Chick, Dad? I don't like him. What? You don't like him? Why? To get your adrenaline flowing too fast. He's causing car crashes and stuff. Get you all excited. Oh, slam dunk, scar! I got to bring my car in. Chick, I'm going to send him the bill. He get me too excited.
Wow.
Hey, you guys, I got to go. Okay. Hey, Pat.
All right. Thanks for chiming in.
Take care.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
All right.
Brother James. It's funny you say that, Patrick, because, you know, when I was a kid and decided I wanted to be a broadcaster, now, first of all, those rare times that the Knicks were on TV and radio, I would go ahead and turn down the TV sound and I'd live in the Marv, because back then Marv was doing Knick games on radio. Mm-hmm. And so I would turn the sound down on the TV too. But what I was trying to listen for, because without seeing it on TV, you're listening to Marv and he's describing the action and he's talking kind of fast and you thought that he was getting everything in. But what I found out was, almost as a way to kind of catch his breath and give himself a chance to catch up, while there's two passes being made, he's not including those passes in his description. Instead, he'll say, Knicks down by one, but meanwhile, the action's going on.
And I said, right.
That's how they do it. Uh-huh. And so I incorporated that, and when I started doing games, you know?
Yep, you don't have to announce every little thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fun. You know, they teach you how to be more than just an announcer. I remember Bill Walton was describing Chick Hearn. Here's a man who's not just an announcer. He's a thespian. He's a comedian. He's a historian. He's a grammarian. I've learned a lot of vocabulary words just listening to Chick Hearn growing up. And he was.
Yeah, but you know, you was... Brent something early about that, you know, how some of these guys, Brent Musburger was doing the news or whatever. Sometimes you go to these jobs and somebody discovers, oh, snap, they're more than a sports announcer. Robin Roberts from ESPN to ABC's Good Morning America. Michael Strahan went straight to news shows. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There are a few other people who've done that. Bob Uecker, who I'm sure you're familiar with, just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
Yeah. You know, it's a little bit different, but he was an actor, you know, as well as a broadcaster after his baseball career. You know, so it's, you know, it's good when people can recognize that, you know, you could, you have the ability to do something other than sports. You know,
and of course,
when they took Robin Roberts and put her on Good Morning America, that's when I got a class. I said, okay, they're paying attention. You know, people are paying attention.
That's right. And this is Howard Cosell. I've hosted a lot of things, sporting events such as the Battle of the Network Stars.
They need to bring that back. They
and the lovely Jan Smithers.
Yes, indeed.
And, you know, Dandy Don, Frank Gifford, and the whole Monday Night Football crew, Joe Garagiola and Tony Kubek on the baseball Saturday. I tell you, Tony, I tell you, Joe, they start every sentence without tell you. I tell you, I tell you, they can't start a sentence without saying, I tell you.
Yeah, he always had to introduce the fact that he was going to tell you something.
Well, who said this in baseball? It's not an announcer, it was a player. When, yeah, this guy up the bat, he said, when autumn comes and the leaves turn brown, I'll be wearing the batting crown, said Joe Garagiola. But what player said that?
Bob Uecker.
Nah, he was a Pittsburgh Pirate.
Was it Connor?
Nah, the Cobra.
Oh, okay, Dave Parker. Okay,
Dave Parker, the coach.
See, I went further back.
I see.
I went further back. I was gonna work my way up, but
time out. You guys gonna go all night?
Hey, this is the kind of stuff that's gonna take place on the Straw Show. It's not just gonna be basketball. It's gonna be old school football, baseball. We cover all kind of gamuts and all kinds of different topics. My guy,
unscripted.
Hey, so basically, it's gonna be a sports history class.
That's another aspect of it. I got my guy Kenny Rhodes from college. He's going to be on my college basketball segment. We're going to sit around just when I bring up the college. What's the first player that you think of, like Georgia Tech? And he'll be like, Bruce Dalrymple. Now that's a name right there, Bruce Dalrymple. One of my favorite names in college basketball.
UCLA, in the early 70s, Marcus Johnson.
Oh yeah, the first Whitney Award.
And Greenberg. I mean, what's the name?
David Greenwood.
That's when I first started watching basketball, when them dudes was on UCLA.
Who, Raymond Townsend?
Nah, it was those three. Marcus Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Roy Hamilton and David Greenwood. I used to watch
them. Yeah, I thought I was naming some of the other players. Gig Sims, Daryl Adams, Tyron Knowles.
You gotta go back to
Raymond Townsend, Brad Holland.
Gotta go back to Fred Slaughter and Rock
Andre McCarty and Walt Hazard and Gail Goodrich and Lynn Shackelford and them. Yeah, you talking about that 60 squad with Michael Warren from Hill Street Blues.
Kareem, Michael Warren. Wasn't Lucius Allen from UCLA?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was with Kareem.
He was with Kareem everywhere. Even when he went to the Bucks, he went to Seattle for half a season and ended up on the Bucks. And then when Kareem went to the Lakers, he ended up going to the Lakers too. He was like Kareem's handler or something.
Who's that?
Well, think about it. Lucius Allen. Monty Towne followed David Thompson to the eighth game, didn't he?
Yeah. And a lot of people like that. Look at Fisher. Kobe couldn't win without Fisher. When he, you know, Fisher left, Kobe ain't win. When he came back, he won. So it looked like he might have been his handler.
You got any footage of on Long Beach State when Rod was playing? with Tart.
Shoot, I wish. Send me to the microfish. Shoot, we can transfer it over to the MP4. I'm sure they got it on some 8mm. We can transfer it over. Get a hold of them tapes. Add Ratliff in them, right?
Yeah.
Ed Ratliff.
I remember back in the day, we came down from the Bay Area, visited Pops for the holidays, and Freeman Williams had just scored 81 points. So he was in the tournament
at Portland State
down at the Long Beach Arena. So we went, and they were playing Gonzaga, and there was no shot clock, of course. So they were just passing the ball back and forth because they didn't want Freeman to have a big outing. And when the guard, Chucky, I thought it was Chucky Williams, but it was Chucky something, he was running back and forth trying to get that steal. He finally got a steal, laid it up, scored. They still losing, and guards come back stalling again because they want to keep the points down from Freeman Williams. Like, oh, man, he ain't going to give me like 18 points. But, yeah.
Freeman Williams was a bad dude in college, though.
Yeah, rest in peace to him. He passed away last year around April, I think, or early May, right before his birthday. He's a tourist like me. I was happy to be able to provide the family with some footage. I put about a 10-minute clip together of him on the San Diego Clippers to some music. So nice. I put it up in the rooms and stuff. So Freeman can bomb that thing. He can shoot that thing with them pork chop sideburns.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of his cousins went to Dominguez and on Facebook friends with her. She saw me put the post up and she told me that was her cousin. She was trying to set it up where I could meet him, but it never materialized. But I appreciate the effort anyway.
Hey, since I got you on here, and I know this ain't my show, but I want to share.
That's all right.
I want to share a Howard Cosell story with you. So this is back in my days in New York. Now, I used to drive a bus, all right?
Please, please don't tell him about the time my toupee flew off.
No, I won't tell that story. But so I'd be riding uptown on 3rd Avenue, and every now and then I'd see Cosell, and I'd say, "Hey, Mr. Cosell, how you doing?" He'd ignore me, wouldn't say a word. I'd be walking on 3rd Avenue, walking, because I knew there was this restaurant I used to go to. "Hey, Mr. Cosell, how you doing?" Wouldn't say a word. So then one day, I happened to park the bus across the street, and I went into the restaurant, you know, to sit down and have a meal. And I happened to look over, and there's Cosell with his wife, maybe two tables away from me. And our eyes met. So he comes over to me and says, only the way that he can, "Pardon me, young man, but aren't you the one who always says hello to me out on 3rd Avenue?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, you know, how you doing?" So then he says, "Well, don't sit by yourself. Why don't you pull up a chair and sit down with me and my wife?" He introduced me to his wife. I forget her
name. No way. Nice.
And so he started asking me some questions, but I want him to talk. I wanted to listen, you know, because, you know, I mean, I wanted to hear about Muhammad Ali. I wanted to hear about the dynamic between the two of them. the things that, you know, we don't see necessarily on camera, you know, that kind of thing. And so through Lynch, we talked about how he was the first one to come to Ali's defense in terms of him being called Muhammad Ali. I mean, it was it was like a masterclass lunch. It was terrific.
I bet it was.
So about 2 weeks later, I'm walking on 3rd. No, I take that back. I actually was in the bus. And I'm sitting at a light. And I saw him walking. So I honked on. And I got up with it. "Hey, Mr. Cosell, how you doing?" He didn't say a word.
That's wild.
You see?
Good story. See? Good story.
He wanted me to be truculent. And I wanted him to beat Trump. "Well, I don't know what that means, but if it's good, then that's me," said Muhammad Ali.
Now, we have somebody that just joined in. Demetrius, I think, Castleberry.
DD! DD! Got to have DD on the show. That's my Stillmanite brother. He's a sports guy. give my little history right quick, Didi, and how we met and how we came off and how we jailed.
Well, you're one of the first persons my age I ever met who knew more about sports than I did at the point. very, very intelligent brother. As you see his wall behind him, he had one of those in college as well. So we picked now who we know on the wall. But very deep, brother. Glad to call him Big Bruh. Been knowing him, man, long time now, 30-some-odd years. So happy to join you, bro.
We lost contact for a few years. I knew we reunited at some point.
Yeah.
He was like, "Straw man, I've been looking for you for 15, 20 years." I felt the energy, even though we wasn't linked up. I knew it was going to happen. He was actually coming out here recruiting for Stillman College. He was coming to different schools and stuff. And actually, we ended up watching the Super Bowl together right before his flight. We watched, who was that? That wasn't the Seattle-Denver one, was it? I mean, the Seattle-New England one, was it?
Yeah, he threw the pick.
Yeah, the Marshawn Lynch play, but he didn't hand it off to him. Yeah, sure was. Wow. But yeah, we're going to have you. I told him when we do the college basketball thing, I'm going to have you on, and Kenny Rhodes, we're going to be chopping them up about old school college basketball, because right now, man, it's hard to watch NBA, but it's hard to watch college as well, man. Who's the best player? Who's some of the best players? And even though marquee college players out there right now. I looked up the leading scorer. He's averaging 24 a game, and the next guys under him are at 22 and 22. Like, even if they were obscure players, at least they was in the 29s and 30s and stuff. What's going on? Quality is falling off.
Well, is that because everybody's trying to go pro and they go overseas instead of going to college? And
Yep. All the different options.
They go to the D League.
The G League. The D League that became the G League. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, correct me because I get it wrong.
No, you're right there, though. It was the D League at first. So
it's watered down because of that, you know.
Man, it's transfer portals, letting guys be 25, get an extra year or two.
Yeah, they probably need to just go back, but I guess they won't. You know, it's something. But yeah, man, this was real good, Straw. We can't wait to see your show, man. I definitely want to check it out. I got to get access. As soon as you get it going, I need to get access. You got to let me know how to do that. We're gonna take a pause because that's our new way of doing things. We had Rohan Marley on here and he said, "No, we're not gonna end, we're gonna take a pause."
Okay.
So we're gonna take a pause and I appreciate everybody coming out this evening. Thank you, Brother Straw, for coming on this in 2 days. That was good. Glad I called you that day.
appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me.
So I'm looking forward to you doing your thing and Mac, you also. Much luck with your basketball league. And you say it's gonna be on TV.
Yeah, Straw's gonna be on my streaming TV network, M3 TV. You can go to m3-tv.com, or if you have a Roku Smart TV, you can download M3 TV off of Roku.
Okay, good. That's good information. Yeah, a lot of people be able to hear whoever looks at this show so they can get that information. So I want to thank everybody for coming out. And again, we're going to take a pause. And next week on the CNN show, we got Umar Hakim. He was one of my probably the third guest when we got started. So he's coming back. And the topic is hate crimes in Los Angeles County. Are we prepared going forward? So I'm looking forward to that. And then, Professor Rob, we have anybody for Monday?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to Joe about that Houston killings and the brothers in the jail and, dying from not getting medical treatment and things of that nature. So me and him, I talked to him about getting that. He said he had an article about it. And we're going to talk about incarceration, Black people incarceration, and that, you know, the challenges they face, you know, the disproportionate amount of them is in jail, and as well as them that they get excessive sentences. When they go to jail, most of the time they get shot before they even go to court, right? And so we're going to deal with that, you know.
Yes, sir. I meant to ask Brother Hendrick when he brought that up, what's being done about it? Where are the black leaders? Where's the media? You know,
you had Ben Crump and a few other people out there talking about it. And
okay, with
some of the families. So it's getting some publication now. So
okay, good.
Yeah, they paying attention to it now. Sure. But yeah, that'll be good. Okay, so we're gonna see everybody again. Each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.
All right.
Peace.
Night.